They'd just been tagged. Obi-Wan shifted his gaze, looking upon the ancient building with a vast and unspoken affection, longing almost. Did he know it? Bale checked that they had the all-clear, then dropped into the dedicated temple traffic stream. The automatic speed limiters overrode his onboard controls, dropping their rate of progress to little more than a crawl. "So," said Obi-Wan, "what are you going to do?" He tapped his fingers to the speeder's control yoke. "That depends. How long will you be on Coruscant this time?" "I've no idea," said Obi-Wan. "There'll be emergency meetings over Kothless and its implications, and not only must we clear our ships of this computer virus and help track down the miscreants responsible, we're going to have to come up with a countermeasure for this new separatist jamming equipment, and fast. The danger they pose to our people is almost incalculable." And that was depressingly true. "So you'd be free to come over for dinner tomorrow night? I'd like to talk some more about Lantib. Thrash out a few possible scenarios for why Dooku and his Seps are interested in it, and what that might mean to the war." "You're not raising the matter in the Security Committee?" said Obi-Wan, surprised. He shrugged. "The committee's bogged down enough as it is, and like I said, I have no proof of trouble. All I've got are the hairs standing up on the back of my neck and, well, don't tell me, let me guess," said Obi-Wan, torn between amusement and disgust. "Political complications?" The temple docking complex swallowed them. Bypassing its public parking sectors, Bale swung his security-cleared speeder up and to the left, heading for the restricted zone. There wasn't time to talk about committee entanglements, though he'd have welcomed Obi-Wan's wry, sarcastic input. "A few complications, yes," he admitted. "Let's just say that for the time being, I'd rather this stayed off the official table." Obi-Wan nodded. "Understood. And of course I'll come to dinner, provided I'm free. I'll help you however I can, Bale, for as long as I can, though you'll appreciate that's not something I'm able to control. I could be sent back to the front lines at any moment." "I know." It wasn't something he cared to dwell on. It would be a lot easier to fight this war from his office if he didn't know some of the people fighting it on the ground. "And there is one thing you could do right away if it's not a problem." "What?" There was never any lack of traffic in the temple. Idling the speeder, waiting for the opaquely shielded transport in front of them to move along, Bale flicked his friend a look. "You could ransack the Jedi archives for anything you can find on Lantib. Anything that wouldn't appear in the Senate database or any public records."
"You think we keep secret files?"
"Obi-Wan, I know you keep secret files." Obi-Wan's tired amusement faded. "Bale, sorry, he said. The transport moved on and he followed in its wake, looking for an empty bay to pull into. "All I meant was that you have resources I don't, and you can poke around without raising eyebrows. I can't."
"Why not?"
An empty bay revealed itself. "Things around here are changing, Obi-Wan," he said, nosing the speeder into it. "The mood's darkening. This war was supposed to be over by now. The fact that it isn't is making people, well, I hate to use the word, but I can't think of another one, paranoid."
"Are you telling me you're being watched?" said Obi-Wan, incredulous.
"Bale." "I know," he said. "I'm sounding paranoid, but I'm not. I promise. So you need to keep this Lantib thing quiet."
"Of course," said Obi-Wan, nodding.
"Although, I'd like to bring Anakin to our dinner meeting. He has excellent instincts and a unique perspective."
"Anakin, the Wonder Boy."
"I wouldn't mind a closer look at this paragon."
"Sure, but don't tell anyone else, not yet. Not even Master Yoda, all right?"
"You really are worried, aren't you?" said Obi-Wan, staring.
"Or I really am paranoid," he replied. "I guess only time will tell which it is."
Obi-Wan clambered out of the speeder and onto the concourse.
"Indeed. Thank you for the ride, Bale. I'll see you in the Chancellor's briefing."
"You certainly will," Bale said. He touched a finger to his forehead and backed the speeder out of the bay.
It was time to go home, where brandy and a hot meal beckoned. And even though he was nervous, even though every honed instinct he possessed screamed there was trouble coming, he felt better, because he'd told Obi-Wan. Crazy, but true.
Chapter 6. Fixing broken machines was like a meditation. Fixing broken machines was an antidote to every pain, every loss, every fear, every defeat. Fixing broken machines kept him from going mad. Hangar 3 was eerily quiet. After talking to Obi-Wan, he'd sent everyone away. His clone pilots, the other mechanics, even the deck officer. Told them to take a little time off, relax in the mess, throw some darts, play some sabacc. Have some fun while they could, because who knew when the next crisis would erupt. Go on, it was fine. If anyone senior objected, he'd take care of it. And because he was Jedi General Anakin Skywalker, hero of the Republic, they'd obeyed, without too much reluctance, he'd noticed. The first thing he'd done once he was alone was call Padme.
Master Anakin!
By some strange alchemy, C-3PO, answering their apartment comm, had managed to sound delighted.
How wonderful to hear your voice.
Hey, 3PO, Anakin said, trying to appear casual, as though his heart weren't pounding its way through his chest. Is Padme there?
No, sir. I am sorry. Mistress Padme is attending a diplomatic function on Shangri-La. She won't be back for another 4 days.
What? Stang. Oh, all right. I guess I'll have to calm her there and...
Oh, dear. I'm afraid that won't be possible, Master Anakin. Mistress Padme's function... Well, to be precise, it's more like a sacred women's retreat. No contact with men is permitted.
He'd stared at his comlink in rank disbelief, disappointment a clenched fist crushing his throat, his heart. 3PO, is this some kind of joke?
Joke?
The droid sounded offended.
Certainly not, sir. I can assure you, Mistress Padme takes her participation in this event very seriously indeed. It was a compliment for her to be invited. As I understand it, the Sisterhood of Tarfan Jarrah hardly ever permits an outsider to witness their...
Yeah, great, fine, whatever. With an effort, he loosened his grip on the comlink. Just, if she checks in with you, tell her I called. Tell her I'm home, but I don't know for how long, all right?
Certainly, sir,
3PO said stiffly.
I shall be sure to pass the message along.
Good, you do that.
Sir, if I might ask, is R2-D2 with you? Is he...
He's fine, he growled. Barely even a scratch, which is more than I'll be able to say about you, 3PO, if you forget to tell Padme I called. He cut off 3PO's protestations mid-sentence. Padme. She wasn't home. He couldn't see her, touch her, hear her laugh. He couldn't feel her lips on his skin or her warm, sweet breath caress the back of his neck. The reunion he'd dreamed of on the journey back from Kothless, ruined. Stolen. Carelessly trampled for some stupid, pointless women's gab fest. So overwhelming was his disappointment that he clenched his own fist and pulverized a cracked and discarded DD-33 laser turret. Sacred retreat. What is she thinking? There's a war on. She's not supposed to be romping off-world with a bunch of vegetarian navel-gazers. She's a galactic senator. She's got a job to do here. And I'm here. And what was the good of him being here if she wasn't? Women. Deprived of his wife's company, not at all eager to return to the temple where he'd have to rehash the events on Kothless and hide from Yoda all trace of his grief for the dead, he'd instead hidden himself in the simplicity of machines. Hours passed. He wasn't disturbed. No call from Obi-Wan or the Jedi Council. Slicked with oil and hydraulic fluids, nicked and scraped and pinched bloody in places, once the gross mechanical faults in 5 fighters were repaired, he decided to give every ship in the hangar a tune-up. After all, there was nowhere else he needed or wanted to be. But not even the sweaty, exacting work of bringing Gold Squadron starfighters to pitch-perfect performance status managed to ease his heart or lighten his thoughts. Rex, Korik, Ahsoka, and 14 dead pilots. Scores more dead and wounded ground troopers. Why can't we stop this? Why can't we catch Grievous? Dooku's only one man. How can he defy the entire Jedi Order? Who is his Sith master? Why can't we find him? Day and night, the questions ate at him. They ate at Obi-Wan, too. But somehow his former master seemed to be able to live without knowing the answers. Or else he was just better at hiding his dismay, his fear. I want Padme. She's the only one I can be weak with. Everyone else expects me to be strong. 3 times he interrupted his tinkering to calm the Kalita Shoals Med Center. Every time he was denied permission to speak with Ahsoka. Every time he was given the same bland, impersonal reply. All our patients are doing as well as can be expected, General. Your concern is appreciated. We'll contact you with any news. Fresh frustration welling, feeling the dangerous stir of rage within, after the 3rd infuriating conversation, he relieved his seared feelings by force-flattening an empty oil drum. He stood adrift in the middle of the echoing hangar afterward, ashamed of his outburst, wrestling with that part of himself that frightened him and fueled him and woke him gasping in the dead of night. I am a Jedi. I am in control. I use the Force. The Force does not use me. A precarious calm restored, he got back to work. He'd been tinkering with his 7th fighter for not quite half an hour when he realized he wasn't alone. Rolling out from underneath the ship's space-pitted belly, he blinked at the politely inquiring face looking down at him.
Good morning, General Skywalker,
the spit-and-polished officer said so respectful.
Morning?
Vaguely, he stared around the hushed hangar.
Sorry, I don't...
An apologetic smile.
It's after midnight, General. Technically, that qualifies as morning.
Anakin locked the mech cart's wheels and sat up, his shoulders and back aching.
I suppose it does, Commander Jeffress, isn't it?
The commander's smile widened just a little.
That's right, General. You've got a good memory.
Turning, he considered the other starfighters.
Looks like you've been busy.
Anakin reached for a wipe cloth and smeared the mix of oil and blood from his hands. His skinned knuckles were stinging.
Well, it keeps me out of mischief. Hope you don't mind.
Not at all, sir,
said Jeffress. Although he was still smiling, his eyes were wary.
You're always welcome here.
Anakin looked at him, feeling the man's tension, his irritation.
But I can't help noticing my men aren't at their duty stations, said Jeffress. I take it you stood them down?
That's right. I prefer to work without distractions.
Jeffress took a moment, then nodded. His smile faded now. His eyes were more than watchful.
General, you don't have the authority to stand down my men. What you do with your clones is your business, of course, but the hangar crew is mine.
His temper, so lightly sleeping, stirred. Pushing to his feet, he tossed the wipe cloth aside.
Really, Jeffress? You really want to get into a power match with a Jedi? Okay, fine. We can do that. You'll end up sorry, but we can do that.
Jeffress stepped back.
Though, given how helpful you've been, I'm prepared to let it slide this time, he added almost smoothly. Just ask first in the future, General, please. Chain of command, you know, it's there for a reason.
Coward.
He smiled.
Of course, I'll remember that.
With a sharp cracking sound, he unkinked his neck.
And since it is late, I guess I should get going. Don't suppose you can lend me a speeder. The temple's parking bays aren't quite up to accommodating my fighter.
I'll have someone take you wherever...
Thanks, but I prefer to take myself. Any old speeder will do. I'll see it's returned to you first thing tomorrow.
Defeated again, Jeffress nodded.
I'll let the transport pool know you're coming, General.
I'd appreciate it, Anakin said, and left the hangar without looking back.
The Jedi Temple never slept. After dumping his borrowed clunker with the droid transport chief, Abruptly aware that his belly was achingly empty, Anakin made his way to the nearest dining hall and filled a plate with hot stew and thickly buttered fresh bread. The other three Jedi in residence, also eating late, Master Damson and Senior Padawans Billeril and Dorf, beckoned him to join them, but he refused with a suitably regretful smile. Chances were they'd want to talk about Kothless, and he still wasn't in the mood. Falling ravenous onto his meal, it wasn't until the plate was half empty that he let himself admit he hadn't handled Commander Jeffress well. He was doing his job, and he was right. I had no business standing his crew down. If anyone did that to me, I should know better. I should have better control. A familiar tap-tap-tapping on the dining hall's polished marble floor stirred him out of miserable self-recriminations. Master Yoda! Yoda slapped his gimmer stick on the table, hopped into the chair opposite, and tipped his head to one side.
Anakin, welcome home.
This wasn't home. Padme's apartment was home. This was his halfway house. The place he'd fetched up in between the slave quarters on Tatooine and the bed he sometimes, not often enough, shared with his beautiful wife. He nodded, cautious. Had Yoda sensed his dismay? Thank you, Master.
For the Kothless engagement, much praise have you earned, said Yoda. Save Obi-Wan and your Padawan you did, as well as the Spinet facility.
Praise from Yoda was rare. He should be thrilled. But he wasn't. Because I'm tired, or because it's too little too late? So the facility is secure? Grievous didn't get the chance to steal what he was after?
This the Bothans have told us, said Yoda. Their word on the matter must we accept.
You doubt them? Yoda pursed his lips.
Say that I did not.
You implied it.
Late it is, young Skywalker, said Yoda, aggravating as ever. Rest now you should. With Palpatine we meet in only a few hours. Ignore that conference you cannot. Asked for you especially, the Chancellor has.
Palpatine, the only person in his life, aside from Padme, who didn't scold him for his difficulties with the Jedi Council and its impossible expectations. Of course not, Master, I'll be there.
Travel to the Senate with Obi-Wan and myself, you shall.
Master Windu's not attending the meeting?
To Kothless has Master Windu gone, said Yoda. His expertise have the Bothans requested.
Oh, well, he wasn't about to lose sleep over that. Mace Windu made him profoundly uncomfortable. One minute critical, the next blithely reciting the old Chosen One prophecy, using it as justification to get his way in an argument. Master Windu needs to make up his mind about me. Actually, I have another question, Master Yoda.
Recovering your Padawan is, said Yoda gravely. Your clone Captain Rex and his sergeant also. Serious their injuries were, but in sufficient time were they treated.
Relief warred with annoyance. The Kaminoans gave you details? They wouldn't tell me a thing. Yoda's ears lifted.
Surprised by that, are you?
No, he was... Yes, admit it, angry, but there wasn't any point saying so. He'd only get another lecture about mastering his feelings. What about the other casualties? Sighing, Yoda shook his head.
Troubling that news is. Four have died. Two may yet die. Recover, the rest will.
They would recover, only to be thrown back into the meat grinder of this galactic civil war. A war the Jedi should have prevented. Did you actually speak with Ahsoka, or just...
Resting, she was. Speak with her tomorrow, you may.
Hearing that, Anakin felt the tight knot of tension under his ribs dissolve. Thank you, Master Yoda. Now, if you'll excuse me, I'll go to my quarters. Standing, he collected his emptied plate and used cutlery. Good night. Yoda nodded.
Good night, young Skywalker.
But after taking a couple of steps toward the refuse station, he hesitated. Go on. You might as well. You might not get another chance. He turned back. Okay, Obi-Wan'll kill me for saying this, but I don't care. Master Yoda. Yoda's luminous eyes, which so often seemed disapproving, warmed.
Worry not for Obi-Wan, young Anakin. This night he spends in the halls of healing. Deep, untroubled sleep he requires, and deep, untroubled sleep he shall have.
No kidding, he said, impressed despite himself. How did you manage that?
After 900 years, a few tricks for dealing with wayward young Jedi have I learned, said Yoda, close to outright amusement. Forget that, you should not,
It wasn't often he and Yoda shared a joke. No, Master, I won't, he said, grinning. But instead of leaving it there, he hesitated.
Something else worries you, Anakin, said Yoda, his head tilting again. About Obi-Wan?
No, yes, maybe. He blew out a sharp breath. I know you can't betray confidences, Master. I know certain things must be kept privileged, medical things, but... And suddenly, he wasn't sure what to say next. Yoda's amusement faded.
Concerned you are that fully recovered from his encounter with the Sith on Zagula, Obi-Wan is not.
Yoda's speech might be as twisty as a demented corkscrew, but it never failed to hit the nail on the head. And?
Zagula, Yoda said thoughtfully. His eyes narrowed. Your fault that misadventure was not, young Skywalker.
It wasn't an answer, nor was it the first time someone tried to excuse him, but repetition didn't make it any easier to believe. If he hadn't lost R2 in the battle to save Bothawi, if he hadn't had to waste so much time looking for the little droid, I never would have let Zagula happen. I'd have sensed ancient Sith on that planet long before they could do any damage. I should have been there. Yes, Master, thank you, but that doesn't tell me about Obi-Wan. Yoda retrieved his gimmer stick and hopped to the ground.
Observant you are, young Skywalker, he said, large eyes still half-lidded in that inscrutable way of his. Sleep well. Weary also are you. Mindful of that you must be.
Anakin watched the ancient Jedi tap-tap-tap his way out of the dining hall. So what? Was that a yes, a no, or a work it out for yourself? Disgruntled and suddenly so tired he was seeing double, he dumped his dirty plate and cutlery at the refuse station and staggered off to his quarters.
Anakin! Widely smiling, Supreme Chancellor Palpatine came forward to meet him as though they were the only two men in his executive suite.
How gratifying to see you unharmed after your recent battle. Allow me to congratulate you on your fine showing against that monster Grievous. You continue a credit to the Jedi Order.
Uncomfortably aware that they weren't alone, Anakin nodded.
Thank you, Supreme Chancellor. It's good to see you again, sir.
Anakin, are you not well?
Palpatine peered anxiously into his face.
You're looking a trifle weary. This terrible war, it's taxing all of us, I know, but...
He turned.
I hope you're not asking too much of this young man, Master Yoda. The more I learn of his exploits on the front lines defending our Republic, the more I come to believe we'll not win this fight without him.
Anakin stared at the carpeted floor. He didn't dare flick a look at Obi-Wan or Master Yoda, who by rights Chancellor Palpatine should have greeted first. His friendship with the Chancellor meant a great deal to him, but sometimes, like right now, he wished Naboo's former senator would remember that the Jedi liked to keep things calm and understated, that they were greatly attached to ceremony and the proper protocols. But Yoda didn't appear perturbed.
Correct you are, Supreme Chancellor. Most valuable to our cause, young Skywalker is.
As, of course, is Master Kenobi, said Palpatine, offering Obi-Wan a gracious nod. Please don't think I'm unaware of your contributions. Indeed, I had a long conversation with Kothless's interim leader a short while ago, and he specifically mentioned your heroic defense of the Spinet facility. I'm told you were wounded in that engagement.
Now it was Obi-Wan's turn to squirm. Nothing irked him more than being singled out, especially by a politician.
A few scratches, Supreme Chancellor. The matter's hardly worth mentioning.
And you'd much rather I'd not mentioned it? Said Palpatine, amused. Master Kenobi, you are far too modest. I think...
Forgive me, Supreme Chancellor, said Bail Organa, as Mas Amida ushered him into Palpatine's office. I'm so sorry to delay you.
Anakin turned his head just a little to watch the senator from Alderaan join them in front of Palpatine's desk. An interesting man. His presence in the Force was dynamic, intense. Padme trusted him implicitly, and more than once had urged him to do the same. And of course, after Zagula, Obi-Wan had complete faith in him too.
I've no reason not to trust him. The three people I trust most in my life trust him. I don't know, he just seems awfully smooth.
Palpatine didn't appear put out by the politician's late arrival.
Nothing wrong, I hope, Senator?
No, no, said Organa. I was held up at one of the checkpoints.
How delightfully ironic, said Palpatine with a small wicked smile. My head of Republic Security falling afoul of a security check.
Yes, said Organa, charmingly rueful. Serves me right for not following my own recommendations. Again, sir, my apologies.
Accepted, said Palpatine. And now that we're all here, my friends, let us get down to business.
Ordinarily, visitors to the Supreme Chancellor's office remained standing. This time, however, Palpatine led them to an offset alcove where chairs and a sofa had been arranged conversation style.
Master Yoda, said Organa, following. Good to see you again.
And you, Senator, said Yoda.
Senator, said Obi-Wan with a non-committal nod. Organa nodded back. Master Kenobi. And that was very restrained, very formal. But still watching closely, Anakin saw something warmer pass between Obi-Wan and his unlikely friend. And something else, too. The merest shiver through the Force. Uncertainty. A hint of danger.
Uh-oh. What are they up to now? But there wasn't time to ponder that, because everyone else was seated. So he took his own place, folded his hands in his lap, and sat back waiting to see what happened next.
So, said Palpatine, congeniality set aside in the face of grim reality. Kothless. A desperately close-run affair, I'm afraid. Grievous's bold attack almost succeeded, and there is every reason to suspect he'll try again as soon as he has regrouped. My friends, we cannot afford to lose the Kothless spy net to our enemy.
Bail Organa nodded. I agree. It was sheer luck the Special Operations Brigade picked up that chatter about the impending attack. If not for random chance, Kothless would now be in Separatist hands. And we need its capabilities now more than ever, with the war not going our way. We can't rely only on Bothoe, Special Ops, and our clone agents for intel. The conflict's spread too far.
Exactly, Senator, said Palpatine, approving. Which is why I have decided, after consultation with Kothless's interim government, to establish a permanent GAR presence in their system and on their soil.
Anakin saw Yoda and Obi-Wan exchange discreetly alarmed looks.
A permanent presence, Chancellor, said Yoda, ears lowered. Using which troops?
Our best and brightest, of course, said Palpatine, eyebrows raised.
From the front lines you would divert resources.
Master Yoda, Palpatine throttled impatience, given Kothless's importance, I don't see I have any choice. Do you?
In theory, your suggestion is sound, Chancellor, said Obi-Wan carefully. But in practice, I fear it might prove to be a miscalculation. Conditions on the front lines are extremely difficult. We've already lost too many of our most experienced clone soldiers and pilots. To take more out of rotation and station them permanently on...
Master Kenobi, said Palpatine, one hand raised. His voice was chilly now, his eyes hard. Perhaps you should consider that, while I have not seen action on the front lines as Supreme Chancellor of our Grand Galactic Republic, I do have a firm grasp of this conflict's big picture. I would not have taken this step did I not consider it unavoidable.
Obi-Wan's face went still.
Of course, Supreme Chancellor.
My friends, Palpatine's intent gaze swept across their faces. I regret the difficulties losing these troops will cause you. But unless I've been misinformed, there are more clones due out of production within the next few months. Can we not hold fast until they reach us?
Yoda sighed.
We can, Chancellor, if convinced you are that we must.
I am convinced, Master Yoda, said Palpatine. I know that, as a rule, I leave the strategic planning to you and your Jedi Council and the GAR War Cabinet, but in this case I feel compelled to intervene. It was only thanks to young Master Skywalker that Kothless, and before it Bothawi, did not fall into Separatist hands. But Anakin is only one man, and the Jedi cannot expect him to save the day every day.
Anakin closed his eyes. Please, please, stop talking now, Chancellor. Really, just stop.
Bail Organa broke the excruciating silence. I agree, Supreme Chancellor, that the Spinet facility on Kothless is an asset that must be protected. But with all due respect, Master Kenobi also has a valid point. So might I suggest a compromise? Palpatine leaned back in his chair, fingers delicately steepled.
Of course, Senator. Please. It's not my intention to dictate to any of you. I requested this meeting so we might have a free and frank exchange of views on our desperate situation. If you can think of another way to protect Kothless, believe me, I'll seize it with both hands.
There was no mistaking the Chancellor's sincerity. Anakin flicked a look at Obi-Wan and Yoda, willing them to see Palpatine's point of view.
They can't make this personal. He's the Supreme Chancellor. It's his job to make difficult decisions. The Jedi serve the Republic, not the other way around, and if this is how we serve today, then so be it.
I suggest, Organa said slowly, that a mix of experienced frontline troops and newer soldiers be sent to secure Kothless, and that once the newer troops have been trained by those experienced personnel, the latter can be returned to the front lines without delay.
That's an interesting suggestion, Senator, said Palpatine. Master Yoda, your thoughts?
Yoda smoothed one small hand over his seamed, roughly domed head.
An ideal arrangement it is not, but better than the alternative, I think. Accept Senator Organa's compromise, I do. On one condition,
Palpatine frowned.
Which is?
Of this arrangement, a 3-month review must be held, Supreme Chancellor. To save Kothless and lose the civilized galaxy is not an outcome to be desired.
And if Kothless isn't prepared to accept this compromise, or the imposition of a 3-month trial period?
Supreme Chancellor, you are, said Yoda, smiling grimly. Explain to them, you can, that no choice do they have.
I'll certainly do my best, Master Yoda, said Palpatine, very dry. Now, if we might address our second pressing issue. How was Grievous able to infiltrate our shipyard and sabotage our warship's communications systems? How was he able to jam fighter and gunship transmissions? That argues he has access to our coded frequencies, which is alarming.
I can offer no explanation at this time, Supreme Chancellor, Organa said flatly. But a task force comprising military and civilian intel agents is working all hours to find one. My office is coordinating. As soon as I have answers, sir, you'll have them. He looked at Yoda. And you, Master Yoda. I'm acutely aware of the danger the Jedi and the troops they command are in so long as this security breach remains unresolved.
Greatly appreciated your efforts are, Senator, said Yoda. Outwit Grievous we must. If help from the Jedi you require, ask for it. Every assistance shall we give you.
I hesitate to suggest this, said Palpatine, but should we consider standing our forces down until we can be sure GAR communications are safeguarded?
Stand down, said Anakin, startled. We can't. We'd lose too much ground to the Separatists. We'd be telling Grievous he won.
Chancellor, Anakin, said Obi-Wan.
It's all right, Master Kenobi, said Palpatine. He's right, I fear, and I was mistaken to suggest it. No matter the dangers, we cannot retreat. Instead, we must bear the consequences of courage, and we will.
He favored them with a weary smile.
Thank you all for your time and your advice. Now we must trust to the Force to see us victorious.
The meeting broke up amid promises and assurances of constant mutual updates. Then Palpatine cleared his throat.
Master Yoda, I wonder if I might trespass upon your goodwill and ask that Anakin remain behind for a few moments?
Yoda's nod was as close to a respectful bow as he would likely ever get.
Certainly, young Skywalker.
Master, Anakin said with his own version of a deferential nod.
To the temple you will return once finished is your business here. Your report on Kothless I have yet to hear.
Of course, Master. Obi-Wan said nothing, only raised an eyebrow, then followed Master Yoda out of Palpatine's office, Senator Organa by his side. As the doors closed behind them, the Supreme Chancellor turned.
Anakin, Anakin.
He shook his head ruefully, smiling.
I embarrassed you, didn't I?
He felt heat rush into his face.
No, sir, I...
Yes, I did, said Palpatine. You can say it. I won't bite.
He gestured.
Let's sit down again, shall we? Have you eaten breakfast? It wouldn't surprise me if you hadn't. I was forced to convene this meeting at a most uncivilized hour.
No, thank you, Chancellor, he said, dropping back into his chair. I'm fine. Palpatine frowned.
Are you sure? I don't like to think of you neglecting yourself, Anakin. You work so hard, risk your life for the rest of us on a daily basis. You mustn't be careless of your own well-being. As Supreme Chancellor, I've quite enough worries to be going on with, young man. If you've any regard for me at all, you'll not make yourself another one.
Any regard? He couldn't speak for a moment. This is the most important man in the galaxy, and he speaks to me as though I'm his own flesh and blood. He has cared about me since I was a boy.
Chancellor,
he had to wait a moment before he could trust his voice.
Please, don't ever doubt my regard for you. It's too deep for words.
Eyes moistening, Palpatine smoothed the nap of his rich blue velvet trousers.
I know it makes you uncomfortable when I praise you in public, Anakin, particularly to Master Yoda or Master Kenobi.
He looked up.
But I'm not about to apologize for that. Perhaps you're too close to things. Perhaps you've grown accustomed to being treated in a certain way. But when I see how blithely they take you for granted, when I see how reluctant they are to acknowledge your extraordinary efforts in this awful war, well, it makes me see red.
Now it was Anakin's turn to look down.
Adulation is not the Jedi way, he murmured. The knowledge that we've done our duty is sufficient for us.
Yes, well, it's not sufficient for me, Palpatine retorted. So, I'm afraid you'll just have to get used to me telling you how splendid you are.
Anakin laughed.
Far be it from me to argue with the Republic's Supreme Chancellor.
Anakin.
Smile fading, Palpatine regarded him intently.
How are you, really? The truth, please.
I'm tired, he admitted after a long pause. I'm angry. I'm afraid.
Afraid? Of what?
That we'll lose this war, that I'll lose more friends, that even if we do defeat Dooku and Grievous, what we're left with, our Republic, will be so damaged I won't recognize it.
He shivered.
I've seen so much suffering, Chancellor. Sometimes it feels like I'm drowning in it. Like no matter what I do, it's not enough.
Palpatine nodded.
I understand. I often feel the same way. And loneliness makes it even harder to bear, doesn't it?
Loneliness?
He stared at Palpatine, abruptly uneasy.
I'm sorry, sir, I don't...
Senator Amidala. Padme.
Palpatine's smile was gentle and full of affection.
You miss her, Anakin. I can see it in your eyes. I can feel it. Your pain.
Shocked icy cold, he struggled to remain calm.
How can he know? I've been so careful.
I'm sorry, Chancellor, but I think you're...
Anakin, Anakin.
Palpatine rested a hand on his shoulder.
You mustn't fret. I won't tell.
there's nothing to tell, Supreme Chancellor. He felt sick. Padme, the senator, I don't...
Anakin!
Now Palpatine's hooded eyes were fierce.
You can hide from the Jedi, but you can't hide from me. I know your heart, and my heart breaks that you must endure such sorrow. I wish there was something I could do, my boy. I wish I could snap my fingers and change their foolish rules. But I can't. All I can do is promise you, on my life, that I will never betray your confidence. I hope you know that. I hope you trust me.
Yes, Anakin whispered. Yes, of course I trust you. Palpatine's relief hummed in the Force.
Thank you, he said. That means a great deal. Anakin, my dear young friend, you're not alone. And if ever the need to unburden yourself becomes too great to bear, if there's no one else you can turn to me. I am here for you, always. There is nothing you could tell me that would change my feelings for you.
Padme had said that, on Tatooine, after he'd confessed to her his slaughter of the Sand People who'd murdered his mother. A slaughter that still haunted his dreams. To hear Palpatine make the same promise. Thank you, Supreme Chancellor. I can't... He breathed out hard. Thank you. Then he stood. But I should go now. I've duties in the temple and wounded to ask after.
Of course, said Palpatine, rising. We are both busy men. But if you can, come to see me again before you're flung back into the war. I enjoy your company.
And I enjoy yours, Chancellor, Anakin said with a bow. If I can return, I will. I promise. And feeling much better than he had upon waking, he made his way back to the Jedi Temple.
Chapter 7 He doesn't encourage it, you know, said Obi-Wan, threading the speeder through the slowly building morning traffic, taking the most direct route back to the temple. Friendly as he is with the Supreme Chancellor, Anakin doesn't ask to be singled out in that fashion. In the passenger seat beside him, chin sunk to his chest, Yoda grunted. He was frowning. Besides, Palpatine wasn't wrong, he added. The Spinet facility most likely would have fallen if not for him.
An accomplished Jedi has young Skywalker become, Obi-Wan, Yoda conceded. But your own part in the saving of Kothless did you play? Forget that. I do not.
Warmed by the unexpected praise, he took advantage of their status, slipped their speeder into an adjacent lane, and kicked it along a bit faster. Still, I'm lucky Ahsoka was there, he said. She's shaping up to be a fine Jedi, Master Yoda.
Pleased I am with her progress, Yoda conceded.
Although, he had to smile, I believe she's teaching Anakin at least as much as he's teaching her. You were right. Training her will be the making of him, just as training him was the making of me.
Hmm, said Yoda.
They weren't far from the temple now, changing lanes again so he could bypass the main transport complex and instead dock the speeder at Yoda's private landing platform. He glanced sideways at his mentor.
I've never asked, and if I don't ask now, there's a chance I never shall.
Master, do you regret giving me permission to train Anakin? Even though our path wasn't always smooth, did we not manage to overcome your reservations?
Yoda sighed.
Your best you did, Obi-Wan. Doubt that, I do not.
Well, talk about damning with faint praise. That's not the same as saying I didn't fail.
Obi-Wan.
Another sigh.
A difficult child he was. A difficult man he has become.
Difficult, Master?
Brilliance is difficult, Obi-Wan, Yoda said sharply. Know that better than anyone you should. Understand him better than anyone you do. A fine line always does your former apprentice walk. Taught him well, you have, but learned well, has he? Only time will tell.
it would be foolish and arrogant to argue. He was a Jedi Knight who'd trained a single Padawan, and in his long life, Yoda had trained hundreds. Still, I think he's wrong. Anakin may have his faults, we all have our faults, but he's surpassed every goal set for him. He's made mistakes, but he's never let me down. Swinging the speeder out of their public airlane and into the nearest temple airlane, he decided to change the subject. Admiral Yularen feared Indomitable would be weeks in space dock. Do you know if that's true?
True it is, Obi-Wan, Yoda said heavily. Although...
So long as she's in space dock, she can't be diverted to Kothless, he murmured. Which is reassuring. I understand the planet must be protected, but... He glanced sideways. Master Yoda, like Palpatine, you've got the best view of the big picture right now. I know I'm not on the council, but can you tell me? Are things going as badly for us as I suspect?
What do your feelings tell you, Obi-Wan?
The temple was looming. Their journey was almost over, and with it, this surprisingly forthright conversation. Best make the most of it while I can. That we are a long, long way from victory, Master. Yoda sighed.
Enslaved to the dark side, the Separatists are. Strong, this makes them. Very strong.
It was chilling to hear Yoda confirm his worst misgivings. And the Force, what does it show you?
Not enough.
Obi-Wan felt a gibber of fear. Ruthlessly, he quashed it. We will win this war, Master. We have to. The alternative
must be faced, Obi-Wan, said Yoda.
He sounded so grim.
Clouded is the Republic's future, obscured by the dark side. Hope we must have, but not blind hope.
And what did that mean? Was Yoda coming to believe that defeat was possible? Probable? Even inevitable? I refuse to accept that. Too many have died defending the Republic for me to accept that. With another sideways swoop, he guided the speeder toward the temple sector containing Yoda's apartment. Master, perhaps Anakin and I should reconsider our furlough. 5 days is a long time. Perhaps... Yoda's ears lowered.
No. Correct, Palpatine was, when he said rely on you too much, we should not.
Though he was worried, he had to smile. Actually, he said you weren't to rely on Anakin too much. Our Supreme Chancellor appears not to care for me particularly.
And concern you, does that?
Not in the least, Master, he said. Generally speaking, anyone a politician praises to the sky is someone I'd think twice about trusting. That made Yoda laugh.
Young to be so cynical you are, Obi-Wan.
Believe me, Master, the war is aging me fast.
Aging us all, it is, Yoda sighed. 5 days your furlough will remain. The short respite you have earned, Obi-Wan. Take it. No telling there is when rest again you will have.
Well, Obi-Wan frowned slightly, uncomfortably aware that everyone who'd nagged him about being tired was right. I won't say it's not welcome. Although who knows if I'll get to enjoy it. There's dinner with Bail tonight. That might change everything. Yoda was staring. He could feel that bright, wickedly sharp intelligence assessing him.
Something else bothering you there is, Obi-Wan. Confide in me, can you?
Blast. He should have known better than to indulge in doubts around Yoda. Directly ahead lay the Jedi Master's private landing platform. Slowing the speeder, he glided them in, the machine shuddering gently as the automatically triggered cushion shield absorbed their momentum. He used the maneuver as a distraction, searching for the best response. But really, telling the truth was his only option. "There is a situation brewing, possibly," he admitted. "But I need to know more before I speak of it. When I do, if I need to, I will. You have my word."
"Your judgment I respect, Obi-Wan," said Yoda. "Come to me at any time. You know you can."
Yes, he knew it. But it helped to hear Yoda say so, to know he had the ancient Jedi to lean on. There were days of late when he'd felt very alone. "Thank you, Master." He watched Yoda make his way into the temple, then returned the speeder to the transport pool. After that, with Anakin occupied and nothing else to claim his attention, he headed for the Jedi Archives. With luck, he'd find something of value there about Lanteeb. After all, it would be impolite to turn up at Bail's empty-handed. But nearly 2 hours later, it appeared he'd have no choice but to be bad-mannered. Beyond bare-bones cartographic information, a passing mention of its colonization date, and a brief note about mineral exports, with every last obscure primary, sub, and super-sub directory data file rigorously examined, it seemed the Jedi had no interest whatsoever in Lanteeb. Indeed, from what he could tell, no Jedi had ever once set foot on Lanteeban soil. As he sat in the private cubicle he'd commandeered, pondering that inconvenient conclusion and feeling mildly peeved, Anakin found him. "There you are. What are you doing hidden away in here?" He glanced around. Lanteeb. Anakin blinked, then perched on the edge of the desk. "All right, I'll bite. Animal, vegetable, or mineral?" "Planet." "And it's important because..." He sighed. "You and your blasted instincts, Bail." "I have no idea. And yet we're discussing it." "Apparently, yes." "Obi-Wan." Anakin folded his arms, alight with baffled amusement. "Are you feeling all right? We have some time off. There has to be somewhere else you'd rather be."
"I could say the same thing to you."
Anakin's smile faded. "Yeah, well..." He shrugged. "I'm still waiting to hear from Ahsoka. Or Rex. I'll even settle for a Kaminoan. I swear, if someone doesn't tell me what's going on in the med center, and soon..." Obi-Wan sat back in his chair. "Stop worrying. Ahsoka and the injured clones are in the best possible hands. If something had gone wrong, you'd have heard by now. Bad news travels reliably fast."
"I suppose," Anakin muttered. "But, I don't know. Maybe I'll..."
Obi-Wan slapped him lightly on the arm.
"Don't even think it.
The last thing they need is you under their feet, Anakin. Besides, how will it look to Ahsoka if you go running out to Kalida Shoals? She'll think you don't trust her."
"It's got nothing to do with trust," Anakin protested. "Those are my men, Obi-Wan."
"And your apprentice is there for them," he pointed out.
"They need to know that, Anakin. They need to know that you trust her to lead them when you can't. This is a vital part of her journey from Padawan to Jedi Knight. Don't deprive her of it because you can't control your feelings."
Anakin opened his mouth to argue, then reconsidered.
"Is that what I'm doing? What do you think?"
"I think..." Anakin kicked his heel against the polished marble floor. "I think I hate it when I can't stop my men from getting hurt, from dying. I think..."
"What?" he prompted when Anakin didn't continue.
"Never mind, it doesn't matter."
"It matters, Anakin," he said gently. "What you think matters."
Anakin flicked him a look.
"You'll just lecture me about attachment, again."
"Careful, careful. He's not your Padawan anymore."
"It's true," he said after a moment, "that I sometimes wish you were more moderate in your feelings. But it's also true that your men follow you with such enthusiasm and loyalty because they know how deeply you care."
"So, that's it?" said Anakin. "That's all you've got to say?"
"Anakin," he shook his head, recalling Yoda's somber words.
"Taught him well, you have. But learned well, has he?"
"Only you can decide what works best for you, how strongly you feel things, what you choose to care about. I can't make those decisions for you. I can tell you what I think. I can give you the benefit of my experience, but I can't live your life for you."
Anakin ducked his head.
"I already know what you think, Obi-Wan. You think I'm hot-headed, I'm impulsive, that I let myself feel too much."
"Yes," he admitted. "Sometimes I do. And sometimes I can't imagine who I'd be today if not for you. Though you frequently drive me to distraction, Anakin, I cannot deny this. Knowing you has made me a better Jedi."
Silence. In Anakin's wide eyes, astonishment. A shy, uncertain pleasure. he felt himself pricked with unexpected guilt. I should have told him that long ago. I shouldn't have let him doubt himself. Lectures are all well and good, but there's a place for praise. I too easily forget that.
He cleared his throat and tried to lighten the mood.
By the way, do you have plans for this evening?
A disgruntled look skimmed Anakin's face.
No.
Good. Bail Organa has invited us to dinner. I'd like you to accept.
Us? Said Anakin. Why us? I mean, you I can understand, but he barely knows me.
Unless... He slid off the desk. No. He stumbled into trouble again? Are you serious?
As a heart attack.
Anakin stared at the data reader's screen, still showing the last unsuccessful query.
And it has something to do with Lanteeb? Don't tell me it's a secret Sith base, too.
The private cubicle's door was still open. He waved it closed.
Keep your voice down. And no, at least Bail says it's not.
Then what is this about?
I don't know. He doesn't know, precisely. Hence the dinner invitation, so we can talk about it without fear of interruptions.
Talk about what? Said Anakin, bemused. What's so special about Lanteeb? I've never even heard of the place.
Obi-Wan turned off the data reader. I hadn't either until he mentioned it. But Bail's concerned about recent events there, and that's enough for me to at least hear him out.
And if it's enough for you, then it should be enough for me? Anakin perched on the desk again.
What do the archives say?
About Lanteeb?
Very little.
And Dex?
Vexed, he frowned.
Dex says nothing at all. He's off-world visiting family and out of comm reach.
No.
Well, don't you have anyone else you can ask? What about that Arcanian smuggler we ran into last year? What was her name? Targio Talon Ta something or other.
No, Anakin, Bail's asked me to keep this confidential, and I am.
Anakin raised an amused, skeptical eyebrow.
Apart from trying to ask Dex, you mean?
Dex doesn't count. Be patient. We'll find out more tonight.
That is, if you're coming.
I might as well, said Anakin, shrugging. It's not like I've got anything better to do.
Excellent. Chances are it's a false alarm, you know, he added. But the food and wine will make up for that.
And if it's not a false alarm, said Anakin, no longer amused, what then?
Then we'll have one more problem to deal with, won't we?
I'd prefer not to speculate ahead of the facts.
Anakin frowned at him, his regard almost as intense as Yoda's.
You don't think it's a false alarm.
Politician or not, you trust Organa.
I have good reason to, Anakin.
Never said you don't, said Anakin, and Palpatine wouldn't rely on him so heavily if his judgment wasn't sound.
There you are, then.
Obi-Wan ran a hand down his face, washed through with sudden weariness.
I don't want any more problems. I want 5 days where I can sleep without bad dreams.
So, dinner. We should leave the temple no later than...
But Anakin wasn't listening. He was slumped a little on the edge of the desk, brooding.
What's the matter?
Anakin stirred.
Look, Obi-Wan, about this morning, Chancellor Palpatine...
He sighed.
He means well. He's my friend, all right? He worries about me.
His instinct was to urge caution. Just because Palpatine meant well didn't mean his lavish praise was a good thing. On the contrary, too often the Chancellor's uncritical support encouraged Anakin's regrettable tendency toward brash overconfidence.
But I daren't say it. He's so fiercely loyal to his friends, he'll just get angry and defensive if I criticize Palpatine, which won't do either of us any good.
He nodded.
I know.
I don't agree with him, Anakin added, about me being taken for granted, or that I'm single-handedly defending the Republic. We all risk ourselves. We're all ready to die in this war. The Chancellor just... he gets carried away, Obi-Wan. That's all.
It's fine, Anakin. My feelings aren't hurt. I understand.
Do you? Said Anakin, cautiously hopeful.
Really?
Of course. It was true. He understood completely. Palpatine always did have a soft spot for Anakin, and there was a part of Anakin that would always need emotional ties. Having lost his mother and Qui-Gon, and then being denied Padme, of course he'd turn to Palpatine. A benign, uncritical father figure. A source of unconditional support. Anakin had come to the temple years too late for anything or anyone to undo his need for love. And what cannot be cured must be endured. Shoving his chair back from the data station, Obi-Wan stood.
I've been sitting for hours. I'm going to stretch my legs. Care to join me, or do you still have reports to file?
Anakin shook his head.
No, they're done. But I was thinking I might take R2 down to the droid workshop and give him a tune-up. He's seen some pretty heavy action over the last couple of months, and I've only had the time and equipment to make running repairs.
Tinkering again. Anakin and his blessed machines. He should have known.
Fine, just don't get any bright ideas for upgrading him. Or if you do, check before implementing them.
Remember what happened the last time you got creative? They left the archive's private cubicle, Anakin hotly protesting under his breath.
That wasn't my fault. Fleet maintenance shouldn't have changed my onboard weapons protocols without telling me. If I'd known they'd recalibrated the targeting computer, I'd never have rewritten R2's rapid response interface, and
you wouldn't have accidentally shot me down, I know, he said with weary forbearance.
Mistakes were made all around, and hopefully we've learned from them. I'm just suggesting...
all right, said Anakin as they passed through the Archive's main doors and onto the Level 6 concourse beyond them. Point taken. I won't upgrade anything without checking with Fleet first. You satisfied?
I'm ecstatic, he said dryly.
Have fun. I'll calm you later. They parted company. Lacking any clear purpose for the first time in weeks, and finding the absence of urgency unnerving, Obi-Wan wandered the wide, stately concourse with its towering marble columns and artworks donated from countless worlds throughout the Republic. He smiled at the little flocks of younglings he encountered, so focused and serious as they were herded from one task to the next, and felt a wistful melancholy, remembering himself at that same tender age. He passed groups of older Padawans, a little less serious, a little more in tune with the Force. The awe in their eyes as they recognized him made him feel profoundly uncomfortable. I am not a hero. I'm merely older than you. He had several hours yet before he was due to meet with Bail. What to do, what to do. He supposed he could spend some time in the Arboretum, meditating. Last night, Vokara Che had strongly advised just that, once she'd finished what Pioneer's Medroid had started and repaired the lingering echoes of damage from those inconvenient transparasteel shards.
I know you've not forgotten our last talk, Master Kenobi, she'd said. And I know you resent what has happened to you, but resenting it changes nothing. Your body is different now. You must find a way to work with those differences, not against them.
Differences forced upon him by the Sith. By the dark side. Differences whose deleterious effects Vokara Che believed would accumulate over time. That he would find a way to conquer it if it took him the rest of his life.
Obi-Wan.
His heart thudded once, then settled back into rhythm, almost unchanged. Slowing, he turned, stopped, smiled.
Taria.
I heard you were back, Taria Damson said, joining him.
Long blue-green hair tugged into a careless braid, athletic physique wrapped in dark green stretch skin, she looked fit and vital and burningly alive. Nobody would ever guess, looking at her, that she was dying.
And I heard you were injured, again.
You should know better than to listen to gossip.
She raised one strongly arched eyebrow.
I hope you bluff more convincingly than that when you're negotiating, Master Kenobi.
They'd been friends since childhood. More than friends for a short while, those memories cherished. The old friendship resumed, undiminished, when it was time. He grinned. As a matter of fact, I do.
I'm pleased to hear it.
She looked him up and down, a critical inspection worthy of a Nerf breeder.
And even more pleased to see you're not prostrated this time.
Prostrated. She chose the most absurd words. She was a most absurd woman.
She can't be dying. It's too cruel.
Taria, I'm fine. How are you?
Me? I'm fighting fit, she said, the sudden glint in her eyes a warning.
It was almost impossible to get her talking about the disease that was slowly consuming her.
But desperate. I've an advanced lightsaber class to teach, and my assistant's managed to give himself food poisoning.
I don't suppose...
She trailed off invitingly. Well, here was a conundrum. Tedious meditation in the Arboretum, or the always entertaining rough and tumble of a lightsaber session with Taria.
Let me think. I'd be delighted to stand in for your unfortunate assistant, Master Damson, he said. Although,
he hesitated, wondering briefly if he should continue, but he decided to risk her displeasure because they were never less than honest with each other. They had never shielded each other, no matter the temptation or consequences.
Truth be told, Taria, I'm a little surprised you're still teaching advanced classes. Are you sure that's wise?
Instead of snapping, she let her gaze slip sideways. No quicksilver temper, that warning glint fading. He'd rather she raged at him. The fear he could feel in her closed his throat.
Taria,
he said, wishing they were alone, his voice brimful of unspoken sorrow. A broken promise. He'd sworn he wouldn't burden her with his grief. Her chin tilted, and suddenly he was reminded of Padme, that same stubborn strength and pride and courage.
I'm in remission, Obi-Wan, she said, carefully self-contained again, shutting him out. For as long as it lasts, I'll live my life on my terms. Now come on. I need to set up the dojo and we don't want to be late. How would that look? Our poster boy Jedi tardy to class.
He didn't protest her distancing of him. When she was ready, they'd talk. They always did. Falling into old, bad habits, how fortunate Anakin wasn't here, he used the Force to tug her long braid.
Call me a poster boy again, and I'll tell your students about the time you tangled with that dragon beast on...
You wouldn't dare,
she breathed, retreating.
You promised, you swore, you said you'd never.
Wickedly grinning, he followed her. Who's the Jedi poster boy?
Not you,
she said, flinging up her hands in surrender.
It was never you. In fact, there isn't one. I made it all up. Happy now?
I could weep with joy. Do lead the way to class, Master Damson. And so, with the problem of what to do with himself solved for the moment, he walked with Taria from the concourse to the largest dojo on level 9, where her eager students awaited, and where he could, for a little while at least, leave the war and his worries behind.
The Kalita Shoals Med Center was a terrible place. Ahsoka felt guilty for thinking that, but Master Yoda was very strict about Padawans not denying their thoughts. Good or bad, they must flow through the mind, neither provoking nor denying action. Only when a Jedi was at peace with his or her thoughts could the right course of action be decided. She didn't like Kalita Shoals, and she wasn't too fond of the Kaminoans either. Nala Shan and her colleagues were brilliant scientists and miracle-working doctors, but it seemed to her that Anakin felt more connection to machines than the Kaminoans did to the clones they created. When they didn't think she was listening, they referred to Rex and Korok and the others as units.
Units?
They weren't units. They were men. Living, breathing, laughing, hurting, brave, and reckless men. Who would lay down their lives for her and for one another without ever once stopping to think first. And she loved them for that. So did Anakin. And Master Kenobi? Well, he respected them.
But the Kaminoans?
No love. Not even respect. Just pride. They were proud of their work,
They were terribly impressed with how much damage a clone could sustain and how fast they could heal his torn flesh and broken bones. But care about them? Feel sympathy for their pain or grief at their loss? No. She hadn't seen a hint of that. The Kaminoans were very detached. They were so detached, they made Jedi like Master Yoda and Master Windu and Master Kenobi look like giddy, hysterical children. With her fractured ribs swiftly and neatly healed, and her other scrapes and burns and bruises consigned to memory, the Kaminoans even fixed the slight defect in her central mantral, which was good of them, she grudgingly allowed. She was free to wander the unrestricted areas of the uncomfortably white and high-ceilinged med center, or keep up with her lightsaber drills along any handily empty circular corridor she could find. What she wasn't allowed to do was contact Anakin with an update, or sit with Captain Rex and Sergeant Korok while they were in their Bacta chambers, or visit with any other Torrent Company clones who'd been consigned here. And she hadn't been permitted to bid farewell to those who died in this sterile place, despite the Kaminoans' best efforts to save them. And that wasn't fair. Being a refitted space station, the Med Center had one observation platform sited at the very top of its flat-topped spindle. It afforded a panoramic view of the Kalida Nebula, and the beauty of that distracted her, at least for a little while, from darker thoughts. Nala Shan's assistant, Topuk T, found her there a short time before lunch, local time.
Padawan Ahsoka, it is permitted for you to receive a holotransmission from your Jedi Master,
the ethereal Kaminoan informed her.
Please follow me to the communications center.
Anakin! Leaping up from her cross-legged meditation, Ahsoka tried to calm her scudding heart. Did they have new orders? Had another battlefront opened up? Would she have to leave Rex and Korok and the others alone here to their uncertain fates? She didn't want to do that. The notion felt like a betrayal, like she'd be abandoning them, as though, like these Kaminoans, she didn't care.
Come, said Topuk T, one elongated pale hand beckoning. Your Jedi Master seemed most impatient.
Sorry, yes, I'm coming, she said, and scrambled after him.
Ahsoka!
Anakin's hologram jittered and warped, the signal struggling to punch through the nebula's interference.
What took you so long?
Sorry, she said. I was right up in the...
Never mind. What's going on? You were supposed to give me regular updates.
Was it the poor transmission quality, or was his face practically black with oil?
I tried, Master, only...
She looked around, but the two Kaminoans sharing the comm center were busy with their own conversations. Still, to be on the safe side, she hunched over the holotransmitter and lowered her voice.
They wouldn't let me, Sky Guy. They took my comm link and they won't give it back. It's probably procedure. How's Rex? How's Korok? Have you seen them? When will they be discharged? I don't know.
She was practically wailing and she didn't care.
All I know is that Rex was hurt a lot worse than I realized. The last time I saw him, he was talking. He didn't look like he was...
She couldn't say it.
But they won't let me see him, or the sergeant, and they won't tell me anything except they're not dead.
Anakin sighed.
That's probably procedure too. But if they're not dead, that's something. That's good, Ahsoka.
He sounded so relieved. It made her feel better knowing he was as sick with worry on Coruscant as she was here. It made him seem less far away.
Sky Guy, what's happening at home? Do we have another mission? No, we're on furlough. Everyone's in a holding pattern until we eliminate all the computer viruses and figure out a way around Grievous's comm jammer. Word's just in, the Seps have used it again, twice.
Well, that wasn't good. Did that mean another influx of wounded clones?
What happened? Our forces disengaged.
She couldn't stifle her shocked gasp in time.
Huh? We ran? No, Padawan, we executed a strategic retreat,
Anakin retorted. Not even the poor quality holotransmission could disguise his frustrated anger.
You don't win wars with vainglorious last charges, Ahsoka. You fight smart or you waste lives. This was fighting smart.
Yes, Master, she said meekly.
Master, if you're on furlough... Would it be all right if I stayed here until Rex and Korok wake up? They're still in Bacta treatment. They could be swimming in gel for a few days yet.
Are you sure you want to? It must be pretty boring there on your own.
I don't mind. It's just...
She hesitated.
When they do wake up, they're going to be... I thought they might like...
To see a friendly face?
Mercurial as ever, Anakin smiled.
Nice.
I'm keeping up with my drills, Master. Lightsaber and general physical. I'm not being idle.
That must mean you're fighting fit again.
Me? Oh, I'm fine. I just wish...
Anakin smiled again.
I know, Ahsoka. You... hold on.
His head turned.
What? Oh, right. Thanks, R2. Tell him I'm coming.
Looking at her again, he pulled a face.
Sorry, I'm late for a dinner engagement. I'll call again tomorrow. But if anything happens in the meantime that I should know about and you can't reach me, contact Master Yoda. If the Kaminoans have a problem with that, throw your weight around until you get what you need, okay?
Her weight? She didn't have any weight. She was a lightweight. On the other hand, he was a heavyweight. As the Jedi who'd led the raid to save the Med Center, his name meant something around here. Up till now, she hadn't used it, because that wasn't what a Jedi did.
But now he's given me permission, and I really, really want to sit with Rex and Korik.
She nodded.
Yes, Master.
Somewhere out of holo transmit range, R2 whistled and beeped. He sounded almost frantic now.
I know, R2, I'll be right there.
Anakin snapped.
Ahsoka.
He frowned.
Can you get access to the Kaminoans' information database?
Their database? I guess. Why?
If you can, and if you can poke around in there without setting off any alarms, and if you can wipe your fingerprints off any searches you do, see what you can dig up about a planet called Lanteeb.
Lanteeb?
She said, baffled. Where was Lanteeb? She'd never heard of it.
All right, but...
Good. And keep it quiet. I don't want any alarm bells ringing on this, Ahsoka. You understand?
Oh, Stang. What is he getting mixed up in now? Yes, Master. I understand.
Good. I'll calm you tomorrow. Remember, low profile on this, Padawan. It stays strictly between us.
Yes, Master. And Master...
But he was gone. Bemused, Ahsoka stared at the deactivated holotransmitter.
Lanteeb.
How very mystifying. And she'd look into it like Anakin asked. Soon. But first, she was going to start throwing some of his weight around.
Hang on, Rex. Hang on, Sarge. I'll be right there.
Chapter 8. Obi-Wan was a neat, unflamboyant speeder pilot with a long-standing habit of sticking to Coruscant's orthodox, tried-and-true traffic routes. Looking at him, recognizing the familiar signs of displeasure, Anakin cleared his throat.
Here goes nothing.
Actually, if you wanted to make up a bit of time, I know this really good shortcut over to the...
No, thank you, said Obi-Wan, very clipped. I've had enough of your shortcuts to last me a lifetime, and if you'd kept an eye on your chrono, we wouldn't need a...
Hey, I said I was sorry.
Yes, yes, you're always apologetic afterward, Anakin, but Obi-Wan, I'm sorry.
He grabbed hold of the speeder's passenger side door as his former master dropped them out of their crowded traffic lane into the cross-cutting corridor that would lead them away from the sprawling admin district and over to one of Coruscant's most expensive and exclusive residential enclaves. He knew the area intimately. Padme's apartment block was hardly a stone's throw from Bail Organa's. They'd be there by now if he'd been flying the speeder, but Obi-Wan, tight-lipped at being kept waiting, had ignored his offer to take the controls.
Just like the good old days.
I didn't mean to be late, he added as the temple dwindled into the distance behind them. I got carried away. That earned him a chilly glance.
Now there's an excuse with a familiar ring to it.
Right. Time for some serious damage control before this turned into a miserable night.
Okay. Okay. You're annoyed. I get that. And you're entitled. No argument. I was careless.
Obi-Wan flicked him another glance, then dropped them into the district's residence and visitors-only lane so they could follow the locals' leisurely, expensive speeders to their eventual destination.
Punctuality never was your strong suit, Anakin, but I was under the impression we'd sorted that out. Yeah, well, some habits are harder to break than others. I remember Mom used to...
What?
Said Obi-Wan, his voice abruptly gentle. Memories of his mother were always bittersweet. Lurking in his shadows was her last touch on his cheek, echoes of her dying pain. But remembrances of his childhood eased that unhappiness. When he closed his eyes, he could feel her arms warm and tight around him, keeping him safe. But I didn't keep her safe. When she needed me most, I... With an effort, he wrenched his thoughts from that unhelpful path. Like Padme said, there was no point looking back. There was no way to undo past mistakes. His only choice was to find a way of living with them. But even with her help, that was proving a challenge. Some things can't be forgiven. Some mistakes shouldn't be overlooked. I let myself get sidetracked. Anakin, said Obi-Wan. Not quite sympathy, not quite a warning, almost a question. Obi-Wan tried, but he'd never truly understand. Mom used to get just as mad at me for being late as you ever did, he said after a moment. She never